The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler, this is Red Eye Radio.
It certainly is Red Eye Radio, and it's Mark Eisler back with you again. I was with you in September for a week, and as I've said, it's great to be back with you again. I've had a great time talking with you the last couple of days, and I look forward to the next 2 days. And Gary and Eric will be back with you Sunday night, Monday morning. I could easily get used to filling in for them, especially because you've been so gracious to me in your kind comments about my work. And you can keep in touch with me and see where I am on the air next on my webpage at themarkeislershow.com, where you can email me, follow me on Facebook or Twitter, or leave me a message with a question or comment that I can respond to. After this week, I'll next be on October 29th on another show, but you can, again, check that out on my webpage. There are a number of topics I said I would get to tonight, so I want to keep my word. First, I want to talk to you about illegal immigration. I've been talking about this for over 10 years now on the air. It doesn't mean I didn't think about this 20 years ago and so on, but I've never wavered in my position. The issue, and you guys have been bringing it up the last few days, so I thought I would focus on it in the first segment at least and see your response. The issue is really not that difficult if you acknowledge the simple fact that people who cross the border illegally have come here illegally, which is why those on the other side do not want to call them illegal immigrants, let alone illegal aliens. One of the callers last night said, you know, Mark, it's illegal aliens. Forget it. So you have the term undocumented immigrants as if the only problem is they don't have documents, as if they misplaced them somewhere or lost them. Because if you acknowledge they are coming here illegally, the argument might be quickly over. If they're illegal, they're not allowed to be here. End of story. And another caller said that. Why is this going on? It's pretty simple. So as an example, if you own a home and someone tries to enter without your permission, you would call the police to make sure they didn't get to go in. They wouldn't be able to say they wanted your home to go into your home, but they just lacked the proper documents. Similarly, if someone walks into your, say, your bank and wants to take the money out of your account, right, they would be asked to prove that it's their account. If they said it was their account, but they just didn't have the documents to prove it, the bank would not permit them access. Isn't that obvious? Which is why it is so ludicrous for the left to use the phrase undocumented, as if they can have your house and bank account if only they could find the misplaced documents. For years now, I have said the left has won the argument over language. So I'll give you some examples. Undocumented, in this case, over illegal. Livable wage and minimum wage, right? We live with years for minimum wage. Here's the wage that the government, by the way, determined that people should be paid, which is ridiculous on its face in a free market economy and a capitalist economy. How does the government know what the right wage is for you and your business? They're certainly not there when your business fails, but they're going to tell you how much you should have to pay your workers. But, of course, people don't quite hear this argument, and I could go on. It's much more extensive than that. How about global warming or climate change, right? So they started, if you remember, with global warming, and then when it was really cold in certain places, this really happened quickly. It was almost like overnight. It became climate change, see, so they could cover themselves no matter what the weather. And if there are a lot of hurricanes, and they would claim, oh, this season they've been more hurricanes, even if it wasn't true, or there have been more tornadoes, whatever they looked at, they'd say, oh, that was because of climate change. So you can't win that. If they get the control over the language, you lose. So they are much better at defining the terms and using the language to their benefit. Here's another one, pro-choice. Now, how could a conservative be against you having choices? So the other side had came up with pro-life, but there's the battle, right? Because you look pretty bad if you say you're for women having choices, and then you say, no, they can't have a choice. Of course, it helps in all of this to have the media on your side perpetuating these falsehoods. I recognize that. That's huge. And one of the other callers pointed that out. Mark, you can't leave out the media. So those on our side are often on the defensive, even though they are explaining the obvious. by the way, one of the other things I mentioned last night, the left is very good at slogans, right? So hope and change, right? Obama had hope and change. How could you argue with hope and change? You have to. It's much more complex to explain our position. Wait a second. Are you always for change? And I'll ask my students, were you happy when you were younger and your parents decided they were moving and they didn't ask you? How about that change? Or how about a change, they're taking away your car? Not every change is good, but hope and change sounds fantastic. So those on our side are often on the defensive, even though, as I said, they're explaining the obvious. The most recent case being parents with children trying to get asylum, and you know why I'm mentioning it because it's happening now, but I'll get to that in a minute, seeking asylum, and President Trump and Republicans accused of ripping children, of course, there's the help of the media, ripping children from their mother's arms and putting these children in cages. Never mind that this was started under the Obama administration. President Trump and Republicans are on the defensive. Never mind that if the parents of these children, this is crucial, but you hardly ever heard it, if the parents of these children didn't come to the border in the first place, there would be no issue. No one forced them to come here. They made a voluntary choice. And we have a right to our sovereignty and to protect our borders and to decide who is welcome to enter, just like we do with our homes. This is so obvious, it's incredible that we have to explain our position. But again, there's a simple, right? How can you, you're ripping them away from their parents. How could you do that? And we're on the other side having to explain things like what coming here illegally means, why that's not acceptable. But the left and the Democrats and the media likely do not believe in having us, our sovereignty, but rather they believe in open borders. But they don't like to admit that because they know they would lose the argument, which is why they would rather talk about tearing children out of their mother's arms. This is really bad. They get to set the debate and the terms of the debate when the media is on their side because no one's questioning them with comments like I'm throwing out there and that you would. Never mind that when anyone does something illegal and they are hauled off to jail, their children do not go with them to jail. Boy, is that a big one. That's a huge one. You'll never see it when, in the last time this happened, and it's going to happen again with these Honduras refugees coming, seeking asylum. That's going to happen very shortly whenever they get here. You never get to stay with your kid. You could use the same phrase. Oh, she was found guilty of robbery, first-degree robbery, but our child was ripped out of her arms. You'd never hear the media say that, but that's what happens in effect. They are also then, so to speak, torn away from them. Why isn't it said? And as I just indicated, the latest reincarnation of this conflict, this is the news, hundreds of Hondurans are heading for the U.S. border in a mass migration to seek asylum. So again, President Trump and the Republicans will be on the defensive just because they want to defend our borders. And the media will again show crying children and distraught mothers. You know it's going to happen. But no one is forcing them to come here. And we have a right to decide who gets to enter our house and under what circumstances. Among other things, we have a right, this is pretty obvious too, it seems to me, to protect the American people from harm, whether from terrorism or disease. We don't know that terrorists aren't coming through our open border or disease. Are we checking for diseases like we used to? No. You can't if they come here and rush in. Or even for that matter, this is important, people don't talk about this, to make sure that people who come here share our values. And just about every country does this, including our neighbor immediately to the south, Mexico. Go try the same thing down there. Some of us think this is all so obvious, but there have been huge forces arrayed against this common sense. The Democrats want more votes. They won't tell you that. They know illegal immigrants vote for them in huge numbers. And the country club Republicans, for lack of a better name, they want cheap labor. So you have newspapers like the Wall Street Journal. I stopped subscribing to it when they would have their editorials and it would talk about immigration in the title. And then, they'd say illegal immigration in the title. And somewhere in the middle, they would just switch to immigration. Oh, immigration's been great for America over the years. How could you? You're a nihilist, right? How could you oppose this? This is insane. But they would switch on us, even though they pretended to talk about illegal immigration in the title. Of course, the Republicans are also the stupid party. That's my party. See, I'm acknowledging that. So you have people like George W. Bush and Karl Rove saying things like, boy, we can get this vote. George W. Bush got up to 40% of the Hispanic vote in Texas. Wonderful. I'm not a math major, but that seems like a formula for defeat. A loss in politics, by the way, in politics in particular, a loss of 60% to 40% is huge, and that is based on an optimistic assumption. Most illegal immigrants come here for jobs, but they also take advantage of government handouts, as we know, that the rest of us are paying for. And by the way, the Republican Party can never outdo the Democrats in offering benefits. I think I used this phrase years ago. Whenever voters are given a choice between Democrats and Democrats, meaning larger Democrats, they choose the original ones. They don't need us. So who are these people going to vote for? It's not that hard to figure out. And if left unchecked, the Republicans will never win a national election again. So even on a purely selfish basis, it is clear that we need to control the border, not to mention fairness. What do you say to the people around the world who've been waiting many years? I've heard of people waiting a decade to get here, but have to undergo long waits and incessant paperwork to even have a hope of getting here. So they have to follow the rules, but those who dash across the border do not, which is why a border wall makes sense, among other tools. It's not the only thing, but it's one of the tools. So one caller this week, if you didn't hear him, suggested that border walls don't work in the long run. And I said, but even if that were true, I bet they work in the short run while we try to clean this mess up and have an orderly procedure for coming to our country. To me, it's the same ridiculous logic that the defenders of illegals murdering innocent Americans like Kate Steinle use. And I pointed Geraldo Rivera because I watched him do it time and time again, saying, oh, illegals commit crimes percentage-wise in lower numbers than Native Americans. As if that matters. Who cares even if that's true? If an American is killed or harmed by an illegal immigrant, that person would not have been hurt if that illegal had been denied entry, no matter what the percentage. Isn't that obvious? And that wall, by the way, in Israel, preventing Hamas from murdering Israelis, is working in the short run. The logic of these arguments is baffling to me, unless you realize they have no real argument unless you change the words and the terms. I have more to say to you, but I know we have to go to the break shortly. Let me give you the numbers, and I'll go on a little bit more. 866-90-RED-EYE, and that's the same as 866-907-3339. So, example, how can you ever justify sanctuary cities where criminal illegals are given safe harbor? If you come up with phony arguments like illegals will not you've heard this. They won't cooperate with the authorities if they know they could be apprehended or sent home. So that's why it's important that, you know, we have sanctuary for them. But how about they not be allowed to come here in the first place? And we wouldn't need to care if they cooperated with authorities. Isn't that obvious? How can you ever justify harboring criminals who commit crimes that native-born Americans have no asylum from? You change the debate. Watch this. To the evil police officers at ICE who have the audacity to arrest people who commit crimes. That's how these guys are really clever on the left. So the rest of us live with long lines at hospitals, deteriorating schools, and intolerable traffic, while the elites often live behind walls in their gated communities. So what's my solution? You take away the benefits like free health care and free schools. You enforce strict penalties against businesses that hire illegals, even sending some CEO to jail. You send the first CEO to jail for hiring an illegal immigrant, and it'll never happen again. And you'd be amazed at how many illegal immigrants would return home. Romney actually had it right, but he used the wrong language. Self-deport. There we go again with language, right? We're not good at that. Self-deport. We keep losing the language war to the left. But I would then say that those who remained, right? Everybody would leave if there were no benefits. I take it back. Not everybody. A lot would leave. And that's what's happened during the recession. A lot would leave if there were no benefits, no government handouts, and they couldn't get jobs legally. But I would say that those who remain, that's the point I want to make, I'd be willing to have a conversation about with them because they'd be staying for the right reasons. And for heaven's sake, enough of the government sending out the wrong message with actions like bilingual education classes, I'm a teacher I know, or bilingual government documents. A country is united by its language and its shared values. English is our language, and immigrants need to learn the language, our history, and our shared values. our ancestors kissed the ground when they landed here at Ellis Island. They were so happy to have landed at the land of freedom. So let's build that wall and do everything to end illegal immigration and take our country back. Tell me what you think at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3329. I'm Mark Geisler, filling in for Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Mark Geisler back with you again, taking your calls at 866-90-RED-EYE. We're talking about illegal immigration, and let's see what Fred in Washington, D.C. has to say about it. Hi, Fred.
Hi, how are you?
Well,
anyway,
go ahead.
The language that you were talking about, one of the biggest glaring things is that you even do it yourself, and I used to do it, but you say American when actually we are U.S. citizens in America. And the liberals are not liberals, I should call them radicals. They actually have taken that word and applied it to everyone on the side of this earth. So when they're talking Americans, you know, we think that it's just citizens here. No, they're thinking the whole world, or this whole side of the world, and that immigration means nothing to them. That means this is just normal stuff, and we have been brainwashed when we say Americans, and they say Americans. They have brainwashed us to think that we're saying citizens, and they're brainwashing us to think that. And everybody uses Americans, but when you look at your passport, if you have one, it says U.S. citizen. That's what we are, and that's a huge difference. We have to be so deliberate with what we say. Our words have got to be deliberate, and that's got to be the main thing that we have to do, even on air. Because the radicals are taking those words and twisting them. And that's what I have to say about it.
Well, I appreciate your call, but I'm not going to give up that word to them. I just refuse to do it. When I hear that word, America, Americans, all kinds of patriotism comes to my mind. I'm not going to let them usurp that. And just because they think Americans, you know, North Americans or whatever they want to use it for, I'm not going to let them get away with that. No. And you know, some of the songs, right? America the Beautiful, that's not theirs. I'm not conceding that to them. There's not a chance I'm going to do that. And I don't want to concede the language to them at all. That's why it's important. Illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, I know people get me on that. But I don't concede anything to them. And if you do that, then you're kind of giving up a little bit. No, we're Americans. We're passport United States citizens, great, I get it. But there's something special about this country called America, whether it's United States of America, America, USA, whatever you want to call it. And so I appreciate your call, but that's my take on it. And now, your national forecast for Cobra Electronics.
Lake effect snow off Lake Ontario on portions of I-90 will leave a light dusting of snow near Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo. Slick roads, not expecting a lot of snow with this system. On Lake Erie now from Erie, PA over to Cleveland, Ohio. On I-80 over to Toledo, not expecting snow, a little too warm in the region. The Midwest, Northeast, in fact, everyone east of the Mississippi today will be under high pressure, and that means clear skies. Rain for Texas continues today. We're looking at close to 2 months' worth of rain for some parts of central Texas. Snow in the southern Rockies. A little too warm for snow in Denver. The overnight low 34, high later today of 59. It's Winter Weather Preparedness Week in Colorado. A reminder that winter weather can arrive quickly and oftentimes without warning in the high country. And there's today's look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
And I'm Mark Geisler, and I want to know your take on illegal immigration at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Thank you.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
Yeah, it's Mark Eisler back with you again. I should say yes, not say yeah. I want you to reach me at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339, getting your take on illegal immigration. And by the way, I don't blame the illegal immigrants. You may not have thought about this before. I put myself in their place. What would I do if I was living in a country where there was little hope, little opportunity, and tyrannical government, let alone violence, like in El Salvador or the drug cartels in Mexico? I don't blame them. And I did a television show years ago. I had a TV show. And I had people from all over on the opposite side of me saying, yeah, we agree. It's the government. They've given us a signal to come on over, or mixed messages, or it's not clear. So I don't blame them for trying to seek a better life. I blame us and the government. And this idea, George W. Bush, he did the same thing as the Wall Street Journal. He would, you know, talk about immigration, how great immigration is. No one's arguing that. People, our ancestors, our relatives came and landed at Ellis Island, and they shared our values, and they wanted to make a difference, and they wanted to get freedom. But it was legal immigration. And by the way, if you had a bad disease, my knowledge is they didn't let you in. That's coming here legal. That's a huge difference. So don't call me a nihilist. Every country has a right to have borders, unless you believe in open borders, one world. And, you know, good luck. It could be Venezuela on a large scale, or Cuba, you know. Let me know what you think, and let's go. I said I'd go to your calls, and let's go to Steve in Ivanhoe, Virginia. Steve, you're on with Mark.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, yeah, I've been thinking about this for some time, and I'm one of solutions. I don't like just, you know, lambasting different places. Why don't we start charging for every undocumented that we catch in this country, the country of origin, and withhold that aid to that country, or the money that we normally would send to them at the end of the year? We just deduct the amount of times that we have had undocumented alien in this country.
So why? I like your idea, by the way. It's an interesting idea. Why do you use the phrase undocumented?
Well, at that point, you can call them whatever you want to call them. Illegals, which that's what I think they are, illegal aliens. But if you want to call them undocumented, that's fine. You get billed for any unoccupied. Not only that, when we ship them back to the country, whatever form of air, sea, bus, train, whatever, we charge them for that as well. And for any children that are separated from their family, they're charged for uniting their families together.
In some ways, you're harder than me, but
we just deduct that.
Yeah.
We just deduct that amount from the amount that you give them in aid a year.
That's assuming you give aid to every one of those countries, which is the case for the most part now, right?
The United States gives aid to everyone. There's no one they don't give aid to.
Well,
name
it's not quite true.
In the United States, we don't give aid to.
You don't mean in the United States. You mean in this hemisphere, right?
I mean in the world. I mean in the world.
Yeah.
Who don't we give aid to?
Yeah, well, we don't give aid to the Soviet Union. I mean, you might say now Russia. There are certain countries, you know, you might say we give aid, like to China. You might say we give them aid because they take unfair advantage of us.
All right.
But there are a lot of countries.
Work together? Are we doing endeavors
together? Actually, the Russians are helping us more with the satellites right now than we may be helping them financially. But that's not your point. Your point is a good one, which is we ought to charge the countries for their illegals coming here. I kind of like that idea.
It's just a simple process.
No, it's an interesting idea.
And it forces them to monitor their own people at that point.
Yeah. And as you're kind of indicating this, and they love to send us their poor, right? A lot of, especially Mexico, right?
That's right.
Poor, and it's not our problem, right? It is your problem.
Well, and exactly. And then you can also add onto that health care. We bill them for the health care. We bill them for the schooling. We bill them for everything. And eventually it will stop and dry up. The countries of origin will stop sending them here or letting them come here.
There's nothing like the right incentive, and that's the point. Right now, it's been the wrong incentive. You come here, as I said, I don't blame them, and you get to go to school for free. You get to have free hospital care, right? And you get to drive in our roads. You know, we pay for the roads, and this is terrific. You know, I would come here too. That's why I said that.
And charge interest, and we can make money on it. Charge interest.
Yeah, you should have given this idea to President Trump, because that's the way they could be paying for the wall.
You know him better than I do. Call him up and tell him.
I don't think I do. That's a great call. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it very much. Actually, I did apply. Someone told me what to do. I do know some people. And I was thinking, you know, I'm a teacher, too. I'd love to be way up there in the Department of Education. But the person I sent it to, then I think eventually didn't work with the president. And I have a good friend who's head of communications for, I think, the Department of Health. And so, yeah, it does happen, and you know some people. But you know what? It's tough, and that's one of the news stories that I think they were hinting someone else is leaving the administration. It's tough to work there, especially if you're a conservative. You don't care about the parties. You just want to do a good job. It's not the connections you want. It's tough. It's tough. And a lot of you point that out yesterday, that President Trump has given up a lot to become president of the United States. You could say, well, it's an ego trip, there's power, all that kind of stuff. I don't think he needed that. I think that was one of the endearing things. Who needed the abuse of his family, right? And now, you know, if the Democrats get in power, that's another thing. I mentioned this the last couple of days, that if they get in power, not only hearings and subpoenas, but, you know, they're going to go after his taxes, because they're sure they're going to find something there. Probably with the Russians, I guess, right? He made some kind of deal with the Russians. But even if they don't, what business is it of theirs what his tax returns are? It's just not their business. I know certain presidents have done that. I don't think they should. It's no one's business what you pay in taxes. That should be a private thing. It's none of your business, Democrats or Republicans. I wouldn't want them to know I pay what I'm supposed to pay and do my share, but it's not anybody else's business. By the way, after the Kavanaugh hearings and all this other stuff, if they go after his taxes, why do good people want to serve, especially people with assets? Why? And that leads me to another point I think we should consider. Democrats love serving in government because for them, they believe in much more government. So here they get a chance to do that. They get a chance to maybe be a bureaucrat and tell you how to live your life. Yeah, they're the party that loves to work in government. We're the party that has to give something up. I think it was Daniel Boone who served for a little while in Congress, and, you know, he was one of those that said, hey, I can't wait to get home. In the case of Republicans and conservatives, I think they're much more likely to say, I want to go back to my family and to my life, because they don't even believe in this. The whole part, and that's what illegals don't know, what makes America special, one of the big things, is limited government, that government stays out of your lives. And don't you find it ironic, to say the least, that a lot of illegals who come to our country are escaping corruption in government and big government, and what do they do when they get here? They vote for exactly the same thing they left. It's really bad. So because it takes a while, like a lot of people said yesterday, people don't know what's going on, right? When they do those man-on-the-street interviews, woman-on-the-street interviews, and, you know, they say, who's the vice president of the United States? They can't name that. That's not so important. What's important is that they know what makes this country special, what makes this country exceptional, that we leave the citizens alone. We let them live their lives. So I teach my students, I get, and I don't try to indoctrinate them, I give them both sides, I get why we need traffic lights. If we don't have traffic lights, you're going to have anarchy. But on every issue you bring before me, I want the government out of my life as much as possible. That's why, some people question this, why conservatives like government when it comes to things they can't do themselves. That would explain a strong military. I can't have a tank in my backyard or grenades or let alone nuclear weapons. So there are evil people in the world, right? That's another thing that shows this debate in perspective with illegal immigration. They want open borders on the other side because they think, well, mostly people are pretty good. I don't believe that. I believe people have a real tendency to be bad, and they do awful things like lynching, right? Like the Germans had the strongest tribe in the 18th century, and when asked why they did what they did, they said, because we can. I don't trust humanity. I don't trust that. And there was something special about this country where we didn't want to trust government. And I didn't get into this so much last night. Some caller mentioned it. We have a system of checks and balances. The founders were brilliant. So there are laws the federal government does. There are laws, right, that the states are in charge of. And the rest is left to the people. They did that on purpose. But even there, right, how do you pass a law? You guys know this. The House has to pass it. The Senate has to concur. And then the president has to agree. If he doesn't agree, he vetoes it. And then the House and Senate could override it. And then the Supreme Court could say you passed a law that's unconstitutional. They really were afraid of big government. So that's another big issue with illegal immigrants. They don't understand what makes this country so special. But most of you guys do. And even if you're on the left, I want you to explain to me why I'm wrong about illegal immigration. Give me a call at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I'm Mark Eisler, filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again, taking your calls at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. And let's go to Jay in Lansing, Michigan. Jay, you're on with Mark.
How you doing, Mark? Just wanted to say that maybe these immigrants that are coming over to the U.S. Might want to be a little bit smarter and think about other places to possibly go that may be easier to get into if they have farming skills. I mean, South Africa, they're kicking people out of there and taking their farms. So maybe true, yeah. put together a band of you and some of your guys that think you have the gall to go over there, maybe protect some of those people, get paid some money, or use your farming skills and go over and help out South Africa, because they're digging themselves into a hole right now. So
I hear your sarcasm and your facetiousness. Yeah, I do hear it. And by the way, you bring up a news story. I don't know if a lot of people know about it. South Africa is expropriating the land of a lot of the citizens, right? And that's going to be a real struggle, and a lot of them are going to resist, right, with force.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for your call. When we meddle in other countries, I don't mean coming to their aid and defense, but like we did in South Africa, you got to be careful what you get, right? All this talk makes me think of Egypt, right? We helped them overthrow, what's his name, Mubarak. And I asked at the time, I was doing national radio, and I said, wait a second, what they call it, the spring something, what was the term? Anybody out there can tell me. I've forgotten it for a second. Brian was helping me, not the Arab Spring, there was something with spring. But anyway, the fact is we got worse. You got to ask that question, what's after this? So you got rid of Mubarak, and you got the Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, which was tyrannical and certainly not on our side. And then eventually the Egyptians took it over. But there we were saying, maybe it was the Arab Spring. You may be right, Brian. I think you are now that I think of it. Producer Brian, so you know who I'm mentioning. The fact is that you can't just do this blindly. We did that in South Africa, right? You overthrow what you have, and then you don't ask what's next. Is there going to be a tyranny, right? Oh, but the best example might be Iran. We're so thrilled with Jimmy Carter to overthrow the Shah. Yeah, but they didn't ask what was next. Are you happy looking back and seeing what you've gotten instead of the Shah? The biggest enemy, maybe, or at least our enemy that's, you might say, Russia or China, but certainly they're the biggest immediate threat in terms of what they're doing to our citizens. So it's very important that you not just act emotionally. I'm thinking Gaddafi in Libya, right? Hillary was for that. Obama was for that. What did you replace Libya with? Didn't they kill Americans, right? In Benghazi? You just can't operate. Let me get myself in trouble with some of you now. In Saudi Arabia, we got a real problem there. What they did was horrendous. In my opinion, you just don't assassinate people like that and go inside and chop them up. And some people picked on me for that and said it's none of our business. But the other side, and President Trump's got a huge problem now, is they're our biggest supporters besides Israel in trying to work against Iran, because Iran's their threat too. This world is very complicated, and there are often no easy solutions. Maybe you don't know this historically. We had a war. There was a war, not we, between Iran and Iraq. And, you know, you got to choose sides sometimes. They may both be terrible. We worked with the Soviet Union during, the more I think about this, we worked with the Soviet Union during World War II because we had a bigger enemy in Hitler. So a lot of leftists and liberals say, whoa, you've worked with these people. How do you respond to that? Well, life is not easy. You're faced with difficult choices. And you got to figure out what makes the most sense. This stuff is not easy. And that, the same thing with illegal immigrants coming in, right? It's a tough challenge. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I'm Mark Eisler, filling in this week on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler, this is Red Eye Radio.
That it is, and I'm Mark Eisler, back with you for another two nights. Then Eric and Gary will be back with you Sunday night. It's been terrific talking with you. And by the way, even though my style is I set the topic, but you may call in on other things. I kind of go with where your interests are, as long as it's reasonable, not that way out there. So we'll get to some of you who want to talk about other topics. But first, let's do Bruce in Great Springs, Virginia. You're on with Mark.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Mark. I just wanted to, like, more or less make this a topic here that I know what it's like to personally bring people to the United States. I did it in a legal manner back in 2012 on a fiancé visa. And just for your listeners, I just want to explain to people that it's a lengthy process, number one. Number two, it's reasonable, what I would consider to be reasonable. But number three, it is pricey. It's not something that's cheap. And I believe that these politicians that are taking it upon themselves to bypass the legal process are, number one, exploiting the U.S. citizens. And number two, they're punishing the people that are doing it legally.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, because the thing with it is, like, the people that come here legally have to, like, basically clear a medical exam to actually get permitted to come into the country. They have to go through biometrics once they get here. You have to go through interview processes and the whole nine yards. And the thing with it is, like I said, it's not that I'm advocating for a change in the system. I'm not asking for that at all. But what I am asking for is the politicians that are saying that, hey, this process is too much of a hardship or whatever the case may be, and you're extending it to people who don't deserve it because of the fact that they're not basically going about this by, you know, they're going about this by other means. I just think that you're ripping people off, and you're ripping people off for your own personal gains.
Yeah, and as I pointed out, the Democrats know they get huge votes out of this. And some Republicans, right, they say, it's cheap labor. We like that. Business has – people challenge me sometimes. They say, you're a Republican, so you favor big business. No, I don't. The big business operates on the basis of how they make the most money. They don't have any morality. They may individually, but so just because you're a big business person doesn't mean you're going to be moral in any sense of the word. So both sides have been working against the American people. That's what I said. They don't have to put up with the traffic. They don't have to put up with the schools and pay for it, or the hospitals or the long lines. I don't know about you. In my area, so many hospitals have closed down. Part of the problem is all the free care they've been giving. So those of us in the middle are the ones who are paying the bill.
Exactly right. I mean, the thing with it is like you're saying, you had Jeb Bush back in the 2016 election refer to as an act of love for witnessing what most people consider to be a crime. Okay. Yeah. And then you have Donald Trump, who's right now remains to be seen as to whether or not he's actually going to be able to come through on the thing that I believe that he was actually elected on. And that is, especially, I'm a big time Trump supporter. To me, look, I'm a truck driver. I go to all these different cities. You know, you're providing sanctuary to people, and you're providing sanctuary in some instances in these cities where there is no real sanctuary. It's unsanitary. It's unsafe. You go to Detroit, go to San Francisco, go to these places and actually observe what's actually going on in some of these cities. If that's a sanctuary, you're redefining the word.
Yeah, no, you make a great point. And bringing up the thing with act of love, and then I think Rick Perry got himself in trouble saying you have no heart. These guys don't understand. They don't live like we do. They're not paying the price. What do you mean, an act of love to defend your borders and to think there's something special about the country you live in? And you're not saying, at least I'm not saying, that immigrants can't come in. I agree. Immigration has been a boon to the United States overall. But with an orderly process to make sure you have no diseases, to make sure you're not a terrorist, how about that one, to make sure that you share some of our values, or maybe you speak the language. You mean that's so outrageous that you want those things? And we're called names, nihilists and whatever else they call us. I can't even think of it, because we just want some rules and some procedures, and we want people to follow that. Why are we the ones that are evil? Yeah.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, though, Mark, I think it's a winning issue. I think if we stick to our guns and don't back down, don't cave to the pressures of the left, I think it absolutely 100% is a winning argument, because law and order and established principles are on our side. And I don't see the American public saying, you know what, we want to turn our back on that, you know, all of a sudden after 250 years or whatever. I don't see this, process saying, we want to turn the country over to a bunch of radicals who are with a mob mentality.
Absolutely. Well, I great call, Bruce. I agree with you, and you made a lot of great points, and we need to protect our country. You're absolutely right. And I as I said, thanks for calling. Have
God
a good
bless
night.
You. Take care.
You too. And let's go to AJ in Chicago. AJ, you're on with Mark.
Hey, what's up, man? I just want to say that actually the last caller had a lot of great points. I think the biggest point that he had was that a lot of illegal immigrants come into the United States believing that they have a right just for landing on this country. I think that, it's a lot more than just being here. It's more of contributing. If you don't contribute to your community in the lowest sense, you're not valuable in that sense. So if you don't contribute to your country, I think that's the highest sense, which is what our military and most of our people who serve this country at the highest level can say that they do. It's nothing that an immigrant can claim. So I would say that as an immigrant, you should feel that you come into this country to contribute the absolute most. If you don't think you can do that, then I don't know what your contribution to this country is. Just being here is not enough. Know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I do. In fact, I think you're hinting at something. Many of them come here and they wind up with an entitlement mentality, right? They're entitled to the services, the hospital, the schools, whatever you want to say. And that, what? Here's another great point. What you give away for free, I call it a great point because it's mine. What you give away for free is usually not valued. You give free schools and they don't value the school. You give free medical care, after a while people think it's coming to them. So we're even hurting them, the illegals, because we're not making them value what we're giving them.
Right. So I think I have one final point. And my final point is that if you take away what you're given for free, then what do you have? You know, and if you come here with nothing and expect the most, you really came here with nothing, so you should take the least. In my expectations of what I can give and what I can take, it always has to do with what my contributions are. If I come here and I give the least, then I will be doing the worst. If I come here and give the most, I will be doing the best. Therefore, you come in to anything, whether it's a job, whether it's a service position, whether it's anything at all, giving your 100% what should dictate an 100% payback. If you give your absolute least, 0%, you're not going to get anything out of it. You know what I mean? So
I do, and you reminded me of a story. If I could share, you reminded me of a story. If I could share it with you, when I was teaching younger kids in elementary school, when I first started out, now I teach adults. You know what the kids would do with the free lunch? You have any idea what they would do with that? They would throw it. They would take the green peas and toss them all over the cafeteria because they got it for free and they placed no value on it. So in a funny sense, even with the illegals, they not only there's an entitlement mentality, but we're not even helping them because they didn't earn any of this. We're just giving it away for nothing.
Exactly.
And then we're surprised when they don't even value being in America and they don't share, as you say, in the community and give it values. In fact, we've made it so easy that there are now communities where people don't even learn to speak English because everything's done for them in Spanish. And I love the Hispanic people.
Yeah.
They're mostly in my classes. That's not the issue. So we've actually, in a funny way, done harm to them. And the other gentleman, the other caller said we should not abandon the fight. Yeah, but you do need someone to express it in a way that the American people, it is a winning issue, that's what he said, that the American people can sign on to it. We're not even helping the illegals. Yeah, you say in the short run they're getting free benefits and stuff. Not in the long run. Not in the long run do they value what's so special about being in the United States of America. And there I said America. One caller challenged me on that. Great call. Thanks so much, AJ. And you have
a
good
night. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This hour is brought to you by Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. And my number one goal is to dialogue with you, and I learn from you too. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. I'm Mark Eisler, sitting in on Red Eye Radio.
When it comes to proper tire care and maintenance, what can you do to improve fuel economy? Jason Evans is Director of Store Operations for GCR Tires and Service, and he tells us.
Fuel economy is certainly something on the top of everybody's mind. So I think the industry in general is beginning to understand the importance of things like air pressure. But just to throw an idea out there that maybe not all our listeners hear all the time is check your tread depths. Check your tread depths, particularly on dual wheel positions where tires are bolted together and essentially forced to rotate down the road at the same speed, because for $2 in your local truck stop, you can find a tread depth gauge. Anything beyond 1/8 of an inch difference, or commonly referred to as 4/32 in the tire industry, between dual positions can really add to rolling resistance. Not only does it add to rolling resistance, it tears up your tires faster, and in a lot of cases, it's a similar condition in terms of a fuel economy as having maybe a brake dragging. That may be a tidbit out there for the listeners to really key in on, because mismatched tread depths on duals can really add to rolling resistance.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again on Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE, when you can get in. I go quickly to the calls, but the board is filled right now. Let's go to Charles in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Charles, you're on with Mark.
Hi, Mark. This is Charles from New Jersey in Woodbridge.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I want your opinion on something. I was at a restaurant. I called up about a job. And you're not going to believe what these people were saying. These are Spanish and Mexican. And they said, well, you got to learn the English and the language and our language to help us out. What is your opinion on this? They didn't say anything about jobs. It just said
It's outrageous. And that's part of the entitlement mentality, right? You come here and you don't think you have to learn language, which unites countries. And when it's right. not one language like Canada, it divides people. What do you right. expect when we give people things? Is that right? They get entitled.
Yes. And one other thing I wanted to ask you on the same thing, on the same topic. I worked in A&P one time. There was an illegal coming into the country and no green card, no paperwork, just like you were saying earlier. And he's working in a supermarket as a maintenance person. Again, it's outrageous, Mark. It's just outrageous what's going on. What is the solution to this problem?
Well, you may have heard me earlier. What I suggest is that you take away the benefits. Now, I know the courts have said they're entitled to medical care, and I guess they've also said they're entitled to schooling, which is why it's so important that President Trump appoint those lower court judges, so judges aren't making law, rulings like that, and going, one person is making a ruling that the rest of us wouldn't agree with. But if you take away the benefits as much as you can, and maybe more important, because I think most illegals come here for the work, make sure you can't be hired if you're an illegal, then most of them would go back to their native land if they can't work here and they can't get benefits. And the rest of them, Charles, I'd be willing, because they're embedded in the community, to use that phrase. My producer and I, Brian, were talking off air about that. If they've been here a long time, they speak the language, and they share our values, right?
Yes.
Then and we build a wall. By the way, let me make that clear, that we make the wall secure. They promised President Reagan they would do this so many years ago. And the Democrats never agreed to it. I mean, they agreed to it and never did it. And so once you make the border secure and people who really genuinely care about this country and want to be a part of it, I could live with that. I'm not for forcing them. I won't mention this host's name. I love when he said, you like Obama, set up straw dummies and say, you guys are going to deport them all. No, I'm not. I never suggest that. Don't use an argument against me that or people like me that we never even make. But if you take away the benefits, you make sure, that they have to work here if they're legal, then they would leave. Most people would leave. And the ones who would stay, I'm happy to have them.
And one more thing. I was a county committeeman a long time ago, and back in 2007 and 8 in my town. I solved a lot of problems in my town, but this topic is really an edgy subject,
Yeah, with some people, but it's a winning subject with people like you. So I answered two out of two. I did okay, right?
You did great.
No, I'm just saying we solved the world's problems. Charles, all they have to do is listen to you and me and the listeners. It's not that complicated. Illegal's illegal. Yeah, it's not that hard. Why do we have this battle?
Illegal is legal. Illegal is illegal. Right, Mark?
Yeah, well, why is this so difficult? And the answer
is... Why is it hard?
Because they have an agenda. Their agenda, in many cases, to get votes or to get cheap labor. And so they hide
open
it.
Borders.
It's subterfuge. Yeah,
open
that's what they really want. They're
Democrats. Open borders.
Yeah, some of them don't love this country, even though they say that, or at least the way it is now.
We do, Mark, right? Like we love this country.
Absolutely.
These people,
some
of these people who come in this country actually want to kill us. Some of these people just want to work.
Okay, Charles, just because I want to get some more calls. Thank you so much. Anyway, we solved it. Let's go to Bruce in Overland Park, Kansas. Bruce, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark. Hey. God,
Hi.
I don't know if we're going to have enough time on this, but hey, I like the topic on this. I think from a strategic point of view, I think we need to ensure that our educational system is teaching young kids and young adults what it means to be American, to be proud to be American. I don't know if that's being done. So
I kind of do it, but most teachers do not. You are right. That course is not there.
It needs to happen. It's in my interaction with people in their 20s and 30s, and I'm a 50-year-old man, so it's limited, but it happens every now and again. You don't know if you sense that pride in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and you know what? And a lot of people don't wear it on their sleeves, but it's something that I think we need to look at from a strategic point of view, because I think it's been forgotten over the past 20 to 30 years in our educational system.
I'll tell you what I'll do for you. Tomorrow, I will talk as a part-time teacher. I'll talk a little bit more about our educational system. But this hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. I'm Mark Eisler, filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
Yeah, it's Mark Eisler back with you again, taking your calls. We're talking about illegal immigration and your take on that. And by the way, if you're on the other side, I'd love to hear from you. If you think we're a bunch of bigots or whatever, nihilist is a fancy word the Wall Street Journal uses. Oh, nativists. I forgot that one. Yeah, we're nativists. There we go with the language. Maybe this is a night for all language. The left controls the language. We're nativists, meaning native to this country, and that makes us bad, I guess. Yeah, come up with anything you can.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to comment on the subject of illegal immigration and undocumented immigration, and sanctioned cities. My point is that while it is a constitutional debate of sanctioned cities, if localities, states, and as a nation are going to choose this, especially state localities, then I don't think the American public should subsidize that. Especially if you talk ICE, if ICE is going to do its job, I think that the states and localities that have voted, for their sanctioned cities should pay for ICE's job. That's my opinion. I mean, if these localities, states, and as a nation as a whole are going to accept that, then I think the localities and states should pay for that that they voted for. I mean, if they're going to accept this sanctioned cities, and if you will, sanctioned, illegal immigration and or undocumented immigrants, then I don't think that the American public should pay for that.
I didn't mean to cut you off. You're absolutely right. The trouble is the courts have ruled. So far, some of the lower courts, probably Obama appointees, my guess, have ruled that he doesn't have the right to do that, that his administration doesn't have a right to take away funds from cities or states, in the case of California, that declared themselves sanctuary states. So that's why the court problem is such a big one. It's why the Democrats are so upset with Judge Kavanaugh. We did that on, I think, Sunday night, maybe actually Monday night, Tuesday morning. Because they want the courts to make laws. They want the courts to do what they can't get done on the ballot box. Because most people would agree with David. What is this stuff, sanctuary city, sanctuary state? You guys don't have a sanctuary from the law. Why do illegals have? Let's see if E in Dallas, if he's E, he probably doesn't agree with me. E in Dallas, you're on with Mark.
Well, hello and good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so like I was saying before, okay, so in my mind, we're all immigrants, okay? Because when the United States was founded on the fact of what, as they say, pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, but the Native Americans were already here. So that land was taken from them from the beginning. Second of all, once they took over the land, then you decided to get in ships and go back overseas and get African Americans, beat them with whips and everything else, and bring them back over here to pick your cotton. Okay? Then, once you did that, like, I don't even agree with the fact that them turned down Confederate flag, I mean, pulling down Confederate flags or statues, because, like I taught my children, it's real good to have them up because it lets us know that the North won, the South lost. And then Texas, Southern states didn't even want to let their blacks free like it was ordered to be from the beginning. We didn't find out until what? Not Juneteenth, but the 20th of June, 1865. So my point being is this. You guys want to build all these walls. Y'all want to have, y'all want to complain about these sanctuary cities. My whole question is, why come the white man is not being jailed for pedophilia with these little girls? You know, you got all these men that's, for one, and most of them are, I mean, the majority of them are white. But they're not being locked up for certain crimes. And they feel like that's real nice for them to be able to do those things. You have cops.
Well, your last.
No. Let me finish. And I'm going to listen.
Well, I appreciate you letting me finish on the show that I'm doing. But, okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish. Go ahead. I gave you a lot of time. Go ahead.
I'm going to cut it off. And then, you know, a lot of times when I look at TV, some of the incidents where people have been shot, my people, I do kind of agree with the police. I don't blame them because you should have just adhered to what they were saying and telling you to do. But still, I mean, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you put it, we're all immigrants to a land that was never ours in the first place.
I'm going to try to respond to you, okay? So I gave you a lot of time. So first of all, you said something about the land was taken from the Indians, that they were here first. The only problem with that is there were Indians before those Indians, and there were Indians before those Indians, and there's nobody living anywhere on planet Earth today that didn't take it from someone else, that someone was there originally. That's just what happens in life. It's you could say it's unfortunate and shouldn't be that way, but you need to know your history. So even Indians took it from other Indians. And in terms of the slave trade, you also probably know this, maybe you don't, many of the people who were involved in the slave trade were blacks who brought blacks over here. I'm not saying it was good. It was obviously terrible to bring people here against their will. But you do have to put this in perspective, the time it was. Slavery was absolutely awful and horrible. But if there's one country that's tried to atone for that, maybe more than any other country in the world, it's the United States of America. We understood that was a mistake. Now it's my turn. And we understood, we just had a black president here. I mean, the overwhelming majority of Americans want the best for all their citizens. They don't care about race and color and so on. And I wasn't sure your last point. I wanted to respond to it. But then you said that the police, when they do some shooting, I couldn't tell if you were trying to say that they were not being responsible. In some cases, sometimes that does happen. Someone gets shot, never should have been shot, and there are good and bad policemen, there are good and bad talk show hosts. But in general, you probably know this too, most blacks are, murders by blacks are from other blacks. And in the many inner cities, they want more police, not fewer, because they want to be protected. I'm going to keep you on longer, so go ahead. Now you respond.
Okay, and like I said, no matter how you look at it, the one thing I can say, if I can't say anything else about y'all so-called president, I appreciate everything he's done, because all he has done was air America's dirty laundry. Instead of everybody sweeping racism under the rug like it's dirt, now that it's out and being forecasted, you have Republicans that's against this man. Because how he talks and how he acts and whatever else the case may be, stupidity goes a long way. It goes a long way. But I thank God, like I tell a lot of my people, y'all can get mad at this man all you want to. But the one good thing that he did bring about in this country was to air the fact that the racism and the hatred in America alone is horrible. It's horrible.
Wait. Where is he racist? You mean with the lowest black unemployment rate maybe ever? Where exactly is he racist? I didn't catch that.
I'm not saying, like I said, he aired the dirty laundry. This country has been racist for many, many years. But everybody wants to switch.
I didn't know that.
That's what this radio station is, because y'all very seldomly expect blacks to respond on here.
No, I don't expect anybody to respond. And by the way, you kept saying my people. I thought we're all Americans, that we all live in, breathe the same air, as John Kennedy said. We're all in this together. See, you people on your side, and by your side, I don't mean color, I mean values and politics. People on your side have a group mentality. I don't see people that way. I see people as individuals. And I want, I like people who share my values. Wait. No, it's not your turn now. I'm finishing. So let's not talk over each other. I would be happy, you may have heard me say this week, I'd be happy with 9 black women Supreme Court justices if they shared my point of view, because I don't care about color, and it looks like you do. You still there? No, I think she hung up. And if you didn't, maybe. I certainly didn't. I just want you to know that maybe something happened here and we dropped her. But it's sad. Are there some races here? Yeah, there are some people that still think Elvis Presley is alive. So you can't account for that. There's always going to be knuckleheads out there. But the overwhelming majority of Americans want what's best for everybody. They live their lives. They don't care about color. Did we make a mistake a long time ago? We did. We paid for that and tried to make a difference. And she said, President Trump, at least he's showing how bad things are. No, I think the country is doing fantastically. That's what we did last night. How great the country is under President Trump. Sure, he says some things he shouldn't say. But you notice they'll charge him with stuff like he's a racist, but then they can't name anything to prove he's a racist, right? It's very discouraging when you get calls like that. My people. I love that phrase, my people. What do you mean? They're not your people. You're the one that's caring about color. I don't care about color. Let me acknowledge something. I notice someone's black. That lasts for about a tenth of a second, and then I get to know them, who they are. Because color tells you absolutely nothing about someone. It tells you nothing. I care about values, and it doesn't tell me anything about values. Tell me what you think, 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Mark Eisler back with you again, and we're taking your calls at 866-90-RED-EYE, and let's go to Michael in Kansas City. Michael, you're on with Mark.
How you doing, Mark?
Hi.
I'm actually calling say that here in the Midwest, we don't hear what is actually going on these political scales unless it's through a different source of media, and so I've grown up to vote Democrat, And I tell you what, I as I've gotten older, I've begun to see what has been going on around the country, and you know, as far as what's happening to our country or whatever. And I tell you what, I've chose to switch from the Democrat party to voting Republican, because it seems like the right has more, what I want to say, values that are synonymous with like day to day living, the stuff that we see. You know, the far left, as you know, it's just not conducive to what we're trying to do as far as a country is concerned. And we'll end up losing this country if we don't wake up and see what's going on.
Yeah, and that's why you may have heard me say that a lot of people don't know what makes it exceptional, right? Limited government, free market capitalism, where you can start any business you want and try to, you know, make a lot of money if that's what you want to do. And staying out of our lives, you can practice any religion you want or not any religion if you want. It was the freedoms and the limited government that makes this country so special and supported by the Declaration and the Constitution. And a lot of people, I congratulations on coming over. I did too, by the way. I grew up in New York City, and it was like a birthright to be a Democrat, until you get older and you start to say, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And I wish more Americans who happen to be black would also see that the Democrat Party has done nothing for them. They control the inner cities. They control the school systems, which I do, and they're awful.
Right. And I'm African American, and like I said, I try and spread the word or whatever to the people that's around me or in my circle, and they're starting to realize this as well. It's just not good for the country.
Well, what's good for the country is having people like you, Michael. Thanks so much for calling Red Eye Radio, and it's Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler. This is Red Eye Radio.
Mark Eisler back with you again. We're talking about a lot of stuff, but I started out on illegal immigration. It's okay to veer off. And they mentioned social issues. I got some issues I want to talk about too, but maybe we'll have to do that tomorrow. I want you to think who got the award, not award, but recognition for being the fastest fast food restaurant. It's interesting. It surprised me. One night I did all 5 hours, my old station KBC, when I did the overnights, and I asked, what's your favorite hamburger place? It was amazing. That went on for 5 hours. But people, and they had names of places I had never heard of in some cases. All right. Let's go to Carlos in Miami. Carlos, you're on with Mark.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning for us night owls, because this is kind of my morning. I've been listening to radio shows for a long time, never called one, much less a national one, so I hope I don't get tongue-tied and fall on my face. But I wanted
you
to take you back
good.
To the concept. Yeah. don't hold your breath. I wanted to take you back to the concept that a caller brought up of America, and you seem to take issue with that and took the message as a bit of an unpatriotic. And I'm going to try to convince you that it's quite the opposite, that it's a very patriotic message. America is a continent, much like Europe is a continent. And therefore, you know, anybody born in Germany or England is European, much like anybody in Canada or Brazil is American. I like to say, and people look at me like I'm a subversive when I initially say it until I explain it, that this isn't a country at all. And I think that's the beauty of this place. This is a conglomeration of states, all sovereign at the time, independent, that agreed to live together, to coexist under a union. And in the interest of that union, we formed a federal government and certain rules to apply to us, much like a homeowners association for the states. And I like to look at it as much like the Supreme Court rules over the Constitution or decides on the Constitution, the federal government does the same for the states. Interstate commerce, dispute between states, make sure the neighbor isn't stepping on the other neighbor or taking advantage of anybody, and to further the common goals that we have, whether it's defense, trade, economy, etc. I think if we embrace this concept that the uniqueness of this place is that it's 50 different states coexisting for a very long time, for longer than a lot of other governments have landed, have lasted. Look at Europe. They've tried to do the same thing with the European nation, Union, and I think they haven't come anywhere near the success, but that's a topic for another time. I think if we embrace that concept and we explain that concept better, it would help us further some of the issues, the goals that we as conservatives, patriots, whatever it is, label that you want to put upon us this week, are trying to further. The beauty of this place is that it is individuals, and the federal government was never meant to govern or rule us. It was meant as a facilitator for these common goals that we have, and therefore the states' rights, that's why they're so important. And that's why we don't have a United States driver license. We have a Florida, we have a Texas, we have a New York driver license. Because again, it enforces that mentality that the federal government is not meant to be the monster that it is today. Everybody looks to the federal government to resolve so many issues. And I don't think that was the intention of the original founders of the country. And I think if that concept was a little bit more understood and embraced, number one, the patriotism is in realizing that this is a unique concept and that it has been successful. And number two, that we need to very much limit and cut down on the authority that we have given the federal government, much to the ruin of ourselves.
There's very little that you said.
I'll have your show back.
No. You're very articulate. There's very little I disagree with, and in no way was I impugning the idea of the United States of America getting together. And I teach government, among other things, so I wasn't on that side. I just we do have a continent, by the way. It's not called America; it's called North America. I don't mean to be picky there, but that's what Canada is, and that's what Mexico is. We're on the continent of North America,
North and South America, as part of a greater America.
I don't see it that way. That one I don't buy from you. I was just objecting to the, I love the term America. America the Beautiful is a great song. And so that's all. But of course, you're absolutely right. We came together as a people of states, and we didn't want a strong federal government. The founders were very much opposed to that. And that's what made us part of the reason we're so special. You were very articulate. You were very good. So I don't want you to be insecure.
Well, thank you. Not bad for my first time. But I really think that if we understood more the concept of looking at us as a union, therefore a republic as opposed to a democracy, a union instead of a country with a single government and a single mentality, that it would help us to further explain to people some of the concepts that we as conservatives, as constitutionalists, again, whatever label you want to use, are trying to get people to understand and further.
No, absolutely. I agree with everything you're saying, and you did it very well. But you're going to have to be better the second time.
Well, darn it, Mark. I thought you were going to give me more of a fight. I love the show for ever since I discovered it like a year ago working nights, and you're doing a great job filling in, and hopefully we'll hear from you a lot more.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much. And now, since he said that last thing, okay, so United States of America, I won't say it now. All right, let's go to off a topic a little bit, so I know you've been waiting a long time, but let's go to Don in Pittsburgh. The one I didn't take is waiting a long time, but let's stay with illegal immigration a little bit and some of the topics we brought up. Don in Pittsburgh, you're on with Mark.
Yeah, Mark, I wanted to mention to you that I was laying here in bed trying to get to sleep listening to your program. And I remember that I have an article right here on the nightstand beside me that is regarding the state of Missouri and how they tackled this problem. They actually passed a state amendment, I guess it is, to the Constitution that requires that the Missouri Highway Patrol let me see here. I'm just looking at some notes here. That they are required to check and see what the immigration status of any person arrested is, and they inform federal authorities of this person to be found in Missouri illegally. Train their law enforcement officers in immigration laws.
Well, that's good. I think that's good. It's one of the ideas that I could certainly support. And you said, I don't know if you were going to say that I've kept you up or I'm putting you back to sleep. Try to do my best. Let's go to Tom in Taylor, Arizona. You're on with Mark.
Good morning, Mark. I have three questions concerning illegal immigration. When I picked up or saw on the computer the other day, 4,000 persons coming from Honduras. Now, that's just not across the border where we live. That's a long way down. So
long walk.
My question is, where do they get their money? Mm-hmm. What do they eat? And where do they sleep?
Those are good questions. Yeah, I've heard it asked before. If I had a guess, maybe George Soros is involved somewhere. He's in everything else. He's got his hands given money. I don't know, but those are good questions, right? We haven't found that out yet.
And when I saw this picture the other day on the computer, all those people were dressed pretty nice. It showed that it didn't give any indication of them sleeping on the ground or anything like that. They were very well dressed, and you couldn't see that far back in the crowd, but 4,000 people, But
there's some people. We're going to find out that there. We're going to find out. You're onto something. We're going to find out that some who the people are behind this. Right? It'd be very interesting to find out.
Yes, and they. I just been curious about it because it's. Where do they get it? Where do they sleep? Where do they eat? Where do they get? Where do they get the food? My personal feeling on this is that there's. A certain amount of fraud involved in this whole process. And that's only my own opinion. I don't want to preach it or anything else, but it's just my own opinion of a certain amount of fraud.
You know what, Tom? On your next check, it's going to say surcharge for illegals coming from Honduras. You're going to pay for it one way or another. Well, you're going to pay for it. That's what I think. We usually do, don't we, here in America? Let's go to... Will in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Will, you're on with Mark.
How you doing, Mark? I'll tell you what, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. On the wall issue, I totally agree 100%. I have no problem at all. If you want to come into a legal port of entry, follow our rules, live by our rules, but do it the proper way. Mm-hmm. Don't come here and bring your so-called garbage or your ways that you're trying to leave with you. I see no need in that. If you're trying to better yourself and better your life, why are you coming to my country and bringing what you left behind with you? And take a listen to the politicians that you're about to vote for who will put you right back into the poverty that you just left out of.
Those are great points, Will. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going to do an and. I apologize. Just because we have so many callers to get to. That's what I said before. You come here, it's so amazing. The very thing you ran away from is exactly what a lot of people vote for. Again, the very thing they left can be very discouraging for the rest of us. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339 is it listed digitally. But I want to hear what you have to say on illegal immigration, and we may veer off a little bit after a while. Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Mark Eisler, back with you again, filling in on Red Eye Radio and going to your calls. And let's go to, let's see what Pam is up to in New York City. Pam, you're on with Mark.
Yes. Hi, Mark. Florida and Texas, those two states, are the two jewels that the Democrats would really like to add to their progressive crown. And I have to say that I am very concerned about the race for governor and senator in Florida and the race for senator in Texas. And I really haven't heard very much about it, but I get the feeling that it's not going too well in Florida. I don't know about Texas, but I don't know if you have any insight to what's going on there. I know that several hundred thousand people have migrated from Puerto Rico to Florida after that terrible hurricane last year, and the Democrats were in a very big hurry to get them registered to vote because they can vote in Florida. I don't know what insight you have, what you've heard about those two states, and I have relatives who live in Florida, and I really can't discuss it with them because they just do not want to talk about politics.
Yeah, that's another topic I have down for tonight. I don't know if we'll get to it, about what your relatives and friends think of you if you're on the conservative side, if you still get to keep them. But I do have insight on Texas. I think Cruz is going to win that. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The numbers seem to be showing that he's pulling away. I think that's their fool's gold, like it was for Republicans in Pennsylvania for the longest time, although we finally won it. Florida's more problematic. You're correct.
I am.
And the numbers, the numbers I saw a little while ago show that we're behind in the governor's race. I think the senatorial race is also iffy. So that'll depend on who turns out. You're absolutely right. And how many legal votes they can get from people outside of the country on the Democrat side. But, you know, I think we're starting to come back in the Senate. I'm more worried about the House than I am about the Senate. I think we're going to pull it off. Because individual – yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'm concerned about the House, too. I don't know what the congressional – situation is in Florida or Texas, but I don't understand. You know, I also don't understand why when you look at the politicians and they talk, why don't they appeal to the Democrats who live in those states? I mean, the Democrats are doing very well in those states, and don't they understand that they're going to have a 10% tax if the governor's race is won by the Democrats in Florida, and he wants to do a lot of radical things. And as that gentleman a couple of callers ago said, you know, the states are, they can do a lot of things. They can do a single payer health care. They can do a lot of things on their own as an individual state. And I don't understand why Democrats don't understand this for their own being down there. I just don't understand it. And why are not the politicians including Democrats in this and you know, be trying to appeal to them?
You mean Republicans? Well, the answer is people just don't follow it that much, and they don't understand it. As I've been saying tonight, it's very hard to explain the conservative and Republican position, especially when the Democrats, it's much more emotional, you know, hope and change, a woman's right to choose, whatever phrase they use, livable wage. These things are on the surface, if you don't explore it, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Yeah. Or equal pay for women. They have no idea the background that they're talking about. They're not talking about the same job necessarily. And that it wouldn't make sense for a business to, if they could get pay women less, why they wouldn't have all women. So a lot of leftist and liberal positions are defeatable, but it takes a while to explain and you have to understand more. So the answer to your question is, why do people vote to pay more tax themselves? Many times they don't understand. And the Democrats love hiding that anyway. Just like now, they don't want to talk about that they really want to impeach the president. Nancy Pelosi even said, oh, well, we're not going to talk about that now, because they know that I think the overwhelming majority of American people do not want to go through impeachment again. I was wrong. I was for it with Bill Clinton. And what happened? He won re-election. American people basically don't want to go through that. And that's why the Democrats, by the way, overplayed their hand with Kavanaugh. I think even people who are not conservatives looked at that hearing and saying, wait a second, that was really ugly. That was really unfortunate what they did to that gentleman, whether she was telling the truth or not in terms of what she believed. Leaving that aside, they treated him so badly. The American people tend to be very fair, and so the Democrats have to hide that they want to raise taxes. When Dukakis, by the way, announced that he did want to raise taxes, he lost big time. So let me know what you think at 866-90-RED-EYE, and we'll take your calls on legal immigration or anything else that you want to talk about. But right now is your national forecast for VDO Roadlock.
Lake effect snow off Lake Ontario on portions of I-90 will leave a light dusting of snow near Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo. Slick roads, not expecting a lot of snow with this system. On Lake Erie now from Erie, PA over to Cleveland, Ohio. On I-80 over to Toledo, not expecting snow, a little too warm in the region. The Midwest, Northeast, in fact, everyone east of the Mississippi today will be under high pressure, and that means clear skies. Rain for Texas continues today. We're looking at close to 2 months' worth of rain for some parts of central Texas. Snow in the southern Rockies. A little too warm for snow in Denver. The overnight low 34, high later today of 59. It's Winter Weather Preparedness Week in Colorado. A reminder that winter weather can arrive quickly and oftentimes without warning in the high country. And there's today's look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
And I'm Mark Eisler. And if you want to listen to the shows we've done this week, go to redeyeradioshow.com and hit the Listen Live button, and you can hear all of the show, even if your local city doesn't carry all of it. Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open, 1-866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
Yeah, it's Mark back with you again, taking your calls. Let's go to Sylvia in San Diego. Sylvia, well, you're on with Mark.
Hi. I'm up kind of late for me, but I just, someone called a while, you were talking to a while ago, was talking about sanctuary cities and sanctuary states and about the people voting for them. And I just wanted to say that I live here. We didn't vote on that. Certainly not Governor Brown naming the whole state a sanctuary state, which I don't know how many of the cities pay attention to. I know some of them have actually voted against following his directions. But I don't recall ever hearing any vote about sanctuary cities out here.
No, there wasn't.
So we weren't voting on it. It's just a Democrat's in office, a very liberal, extremely leftist Democrat is in office, and he just decides that's a good idea and does it. And from what I understand, San Francisco is kind of a dump now, just partly because
of that. I was there a few months ago, and it was amazing when I was walking the streets with my kid. Someone yelled at us, now, look at this hand. This hand is a weapon. And then another time someone said something about a knife. That doesn't count how dirty it is. Now, I didn't see this, but there were needles all over certain sections. I think they said Market Street. And, of course, the problem with the trash and the homelessness is a problem. But that's true, as you know, everywhere in California, right?
Yes, but I think I haven't been to San Francisco in a long time. I don't really go up there that much. I mean, it's quite far from San Diego, and I've just never been into their way of thinking. So, but it's not anything we voted on. And I wanted to ask you one other thing. I didn't mention this to the fellow that I spoke with first, but have you heard the thing about the birth tourism? It was on. I mentioned this to a few people, and they had not heard of it. And it actually was on television some time ago on 2020 or Dateline or one of those, where they fly in these Chinese women that are pregnant, and they have this place all set up, and they go there, and they have the babies, get their little American citizenship for the baby, and leave.
And then leave. Yeah, no, I did hear that, pregnant women going into hospitals. Yep, they've got to figure it out. Look, people will take advantage of the weaknesses in anything, right, especially your laws.
Of course.
Of course, we call that anchor babies, right, so they come here, and they have the baby, and then They have all the rights.
That's wrong.
Of course
it's wrong. And an awful lot of people have not heard about that, because I've told that to even a few politicians here. And they, well, I mean, there are people that work for them. And they hadn't heard of that, so I'm glad to get to say it on national radio so people can know what's going on. It's, we're very close to the border here, so it's, I mean, people come over here and dump the babies all the time. And I say dump them, I mean they have them. And I don't think it's right. I don't think a lot of the other countries in the world do that.
No,
I knew somebody
no,
had a baby we're, in we're, Italy. I said, does the baby have dual citizenship? And they said no, because she was born at an Air Force, U.S. Air Force base. So I don't know why we're handing out citizenship like candy. You know, it's if the parent is
they're
illegal,
actually,
then the
yeah.
Go ahead.
Sylvia, there was a reason for it, which is with the slavery issue. We wanted to make sure that they weren't taken advantage of in any way. But, of course, if you pass a law, every law, by the way, this is a phrase I've heard, was a one-time solution. Every problem was a one-time solution to something else. So you mean well and you pass something and then people figure out how to take advantage. Oh, I would do the same thing. If I lived, say, in Asia and think, oh, I could get my kid to have American citizenship if they're just born here, well, I'm going to time my trip so that I have the baby. Now, of course, that could go wrong if the baby's late, I guess, very late. But they figure out how to take advantage of your dumb laws. That happens a lot. Let's go to Jeremiah. Speaking of fraud, Jeremiah in Nashville. Jeremiah,
yes,
you're
sir.
On with Mark.
Yes, sir. Hey.
You're on.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Well.
Great. I recently had a relationship. She got pregnant 3 weeks into the marriage. She's an illegal immigrant. She got pregnant. I wanted to make sure that everything was okay. We got married. And then she left. She left. She's gone. And it's the fast track to a green card. Now, have you ever heard of the Waiver Act? And just touching up from what the previous speaker was talking about, you know, people don't know about this a whole lot. They don't know about the fact that you can come here illegally, get pregnant, and then just totally disregard everything, and then live off the government. You can't get deported. You can't, all that. I don't know if you've ever heard about anything like that, but I just wanted to share with the people, because, man, this is an issue. I mean, people come here all the time. They want to get married. They want to get pregnant, and then they want to just stay here. It's an amazing thing. My life has been turned upside down. It's been an amazing experience. I'm having to live with it, you know, with lawyer fees, everything.
I guess
that.
You don't see your child then.
No. They do restraining orders under the WAVA Act. It's the Women Against Violence Act. So if you come here and you charge somebody with anything, you are here. It's the fast track to a green card.
I'll run out of time this week, but I was going to have someone on talking about father's rights and what happens the court system and the family courts. They're just a total disaster. Let's go to George in Huntsville, Alabama. George, you're on with Mark.
Good morning, Mark. I keep hearing these wonderful terms thrown around that I think our mainstream media has created and everyone's kind of latched on to, but I think it's also a misnomer. We do not have illegal immigration. We have an invasion going on. These are not undocumented immigrants. They're invaders from foreign countries, and we're being invaded by the failures of these other countries.
No, you're right. No argument there. Yeah.
If it was their military doing it, we would be returning fire. Why are we sitting here so complacently allowing this to happen? This is absurd.
It is absurd, and it happens because there are people on the other side who have an agenda. They don't believe in borders. They don't believe there's anything special about the United States of America. See, I said United States. They just see it differently than we do, and they want to fulfill their agenda. That's what you're up against. And President Trump was smart enough to make that his top issue, if not at least one of his top issues. And the American people responded. And I think they did it correctly. Let's go to there's so many good calls here. Let's go to Stan in Wyalusing, Pennsylvania. I probably messed that up. Stan, you're on with Mark.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Great call. You know, you've got a great program there. I really appreciate it. I'm actually a Jerseyan who's visiting here, and so I'm escaped, you know, enemy territory for a while. It's, hopefully, okay. We can get Menendez out of there. Oh God! But I was calling, basically, I guess illegal voting. I know I heard something on the radio a while back about Clinton and the DNC and how they were taking busloads of people. Illegals, not only voting, but bringing them into other states to vote in other states. And it was like really absurd. And I was thinking, you know, how do you stop that? And if you remember, like during the, when we were setting up governments either in Afghanistan or Iraq after the wars, they were taking people who were voting and dyeing their their thumb purple, you know, so they couldn't vote more than once. And I'd say, like, if we could do that overseas, why couldn't we do that here? So we wouldn't have, you know, not only illegals, but people voting more than once and you know, disenfranchising other people's vote. And
well, you know the whole controversy over voter ID, that the other side doesn't want any part of voter ID. Like, that's a big crime to ask someone to, you are, let me see if you are who you say you are. So you're not committing voter fraud or voting illegal. But the other, we're being racist, we're being this, you know, how could you do that? Yeah, by the way, my position is different than most people. I don't want people to vote unless they care enough to put forth some effort. I'm worried about the people who vote who don't know that much or get to vote on the same day voting, right, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. That was the other thing I was thinking also about, like you said, the voter ID. They make such a big gripe about how difficult it is. And I'm saying, you know, well, how about on election day when somebody goes in to vote and, you know, you have to sign if you voted before, you know, they compare your signature and everything like that. And while you're there voting, why don't they just take your picture and start the process of creating a voter ID? Then you're already there. It's not like you had to go someplace to, you know, to get a voter ID. You're already there, so you take a picture of a person, and say you a digital camera, you feed it into facial recognition, say in a tri-state area, and see if that person pops up in another ward or district or state on the same day. And, you know, like you said, a digital camera, you could check and see if they voted previously on that day. But at the same time, you could be starting a voter ID form. You know, they sign it, you got the picture, you have their address, and, you know, after you fill out the card in a week or so, you know, you go back and you bring the ID to them, mail it to them, but at least you'd be able to compare, because you have a photo of them, to see if they're voting in more than one place, if they're registered in more than one place.
Well, there are two problems, okay? First, the other side doesn't. They want voter fraud. They accuse us often.
Definitely, I know that.
But there's another point that I bet you didn't think of. I don't know about your state, but in California, have you ever seen the people who work the polls? I don't think they can handle something as complicated as taking pictures. They can't even find my name half the time. I don't know about Pennsylvania or where you're from originally. You know, I'm right? So you go in the poll. Who are you? Oh, Martha, you go over to that table. You're in the wrong place if they can even figure it out. And if I ever walk in with a provisional ballot, it is scary. So if you had to also give them cameras to take the picture, I don't think so. But you have, Stan, you have some good ideas there, but they're not going to work. Have a great evening.
I tell you one thing I did have. I went in to vote one time. It was a primary, and I asked him if I can have, you know, a write-in ballot. All right. And he said, "Oh yeah, you know, you can have a write-in ballot." I walked in there and it wouldn't take it.
Of course.
And I was like, you know, totally amazed. I said, "Well, you know, what's going on?" You know, and he said, "Well, you wanted to vote Republican." He goes, "Or Democrat." I couldn't vote. They wouldn't let me do a write-in ballot. And I says, "Well, you said I could." And he says, "Oh no, you have to tell us before you go into the booth whether you want a write-in ballot or not."
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be worse than that. I thought it was going to say you can only write in on the Democrat side. You can't write in if you're a Republican. Hey, why am I laughing? Voter fraud happens all the time. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Mark Eisler for Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Mark Eisler back with you on Red Eye Radio, and we go to Mark in Roanoke, Virginia. Mark, you're on with Mark.
Good morning. How you doing? Just two questions. Actually, a question and a comment. If it does turn out the next few weeks that both the Democrats lose both the House and they lose the Senate, I'm just wondering what your thoughts might be as to, because of the violence that's already starting to occur, will it get worse? Well, where do you see it going? And then for a number of years, I was a poll chairman in New York City. I worked with the Board of Elections because my neighbors used to tell me, take a day off from work. We want you to be in charge of the polls, which I did. And the thing is, so many things have changed now. The voter fraud is so prevalent now because the software that's generally being used on the voting machines nationwide, it's only coming from three different companies, and those three companies are all European-based. It turns out an individual named George Soros happens to own at least two of those companies. I'm just wondering what your thoughts would be on both of these.
Yeah, it's pretty discouraging, and on both counts, because I worry about voter fraud. The Democrats, of course, say it's not occurring, so that tells you right away it is occurring on their side, because we don't tend to do those things. And number two, I hope we win the House, because that's going to be crucial, because it's going to be huge chaos if we don't. With subpoenas and hearings and trying to impeach the president and Kavanaugh and whatever else, other mischief they can do. But I'd rather have that worry than the other worry that they win the House. But if they lose both, you're absolutely right. It's a great question. The resistance will go crazy. They couldn't accept it last time. They're never going to accept it. There's a real potential for violence, and it's something you are right to be worried about. Let me know what you think. Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.